This is the KNBR Podcast Network. Time now for Pauly's Podcast, featuring Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show on KNBR, the sports leader.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pauly Mack Podcast. It is April 15th, and hey, guys, I am newly vaccinated with my second shot, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited.
Keep feeling vaccination.
Yeah. Creative Tony, Creative Shannon, what is up with you guys today? What's up with your bad selves?
Well, Paulie, you said 15, and it always reminds me of playing dominoes, slapping bones with Rod Brooks, and he introduced me to the term fitting. Because ever you score, when you score 15 or 20 on in dominoes, you want to announce your presence with authority. And Rod would always slam his elbow down first, and then slap the domino that would score him 15 or 20. And whenever he would score 15, he would yell, "Fitting!"
Do you ever drop a domino mother blanker, too?
Absolutely.
Like, Wait, hold on. How do you even play dominoes? I don't even know anyone who's ever played dominoes.
In college, when I lived with four other baseball teammates, every Wednesday night was bring your own 40-ounce of malt liquor because it was dominoes night.
To Domino's night? That's ridiculous.
The guy's making fun of Domino's, Paulie. Do you understand? Do you hear the guy?
I hear him, but what he's showing is like what he's doing is he's revealing his lack of street cred.
Well, no, I mean, what are you gonna say? You guys got some Colt 45 and played gin rummy? I mean, you play with some grandmas.
You've never been blessed with the social circles to include you in dominoes.
You're saying I don't have any friends. Is that where this is going?
It's more like Tony. I think this kid, he just simply doesn't know the streets.
It goes to show maybe you weren't in many clubhouses as a youth where you would play dominoes, you know, on road trips or in hotels or in downtime. Kayla.
Did they have that? Did they have a clubhouse on the farming team, Shannon?
On the farming team. Yeah. As the Mennonites churned butter, we had a clubhouse where we'd all go to talk about.
A lot of people don't know this, but Shannon Kaler came fourth in his county in the butter churning competition back in, what was it, 97? Yeah.
Well, also,
yeah,
you're forgetting. A lot of people don't know that. You're forgetting the wheelbarrow race too, Paulie.
He came in second.
A close second in the wheelbarrow race.
A lot of people also don't know that Shannon was the runner-up in the watermelon eating contest of 2003.
Nice.
But they wound up disqualifying him on a seed technicality. He hadn't spit out all the seeds, therefore they stripped him of his title.
Also, Shannon, didn't you go on Gallagher tour to see the smashing of the watermelon?
I'm on tour.
I just want you guys to know that I've put all that aside and I'm really focusing on Frankfurters and hot dogs now. And I'm coming for you, Joey Chestnut. I'm coming for you. I'm going to be there and I'm going to kick your ass this 4th of July. You'll see.
Dude, line your own intestines with pig intestines. That's perfect.
How about 84 of them? I can take them all down.
We talked about clubhouses. Can we talk about the clubhouse that seems to be bursting with chemistry?
Yes.
Known as the orange and black, the G-men, the Giants.
Oh, Gabe's guys.
Dude, Kapler's crew, Gabe's guys. Dude,
Cap's kids.
He's a beautiful Gabe. I still want to make the song.
Farhan's friends.
A beautiful Gabe.
Don't let him get away.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, when is Gabe's contract over? He's going to be here for a couple more years, right?
I would think so. Guy just got here. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. Now you guys want to get on the Farhan train, don't you? You want to be Farheads now, don't you?
I am surprised. Yeah.
Hey, man, all I got to say is they are playing the game of baseball the way that I love to watch it be played.
No question.
Small ball, long ball, defense, base running, taking advantage of the defensive gaps on the opposition. I mean, dude, you got Belt and Yastrzemski dropping bunts down to beat the shift. That's phenomenal. I love it.
Tony, absolutely, dude. We're all excited about the Giants right now. There's no getting around it. This team is off to a great start. Also want to do this. Hey, because we got special guests coming on today, a couple of them. So we're gonna get out of this opening segment in just a second. But guys, I also wanted to just take at least 5 seconds and give Steph Curry some love. What this guy is doing night in and night out is just spectacular. So we're recording this on Thursday morning, April 15th, as I said. And last night, Steph Curry rolled into OKC, and I think he put up, 42 points last night?
42 in 29 minutes.
29 minutes, hit 11 more three-pointers. Guys, here's a stat. He's getting Jerry Rice-like separation now with these records he holds.
Yeah. Because
there's so many.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever, like, here's a new one. Last night was the 19th time in his career that he's hit at least 10 three-pointers in a game. Last night, he hit 11, for example.
Yeah.
That was the 19th time he's done that, 10 three-pointers in a game. The next guy in second place is Klay Thompson. He's done it 5 times.
It's truly remarkable.
That's the gap, 19 and 5. I mean, it's a guy spectacular. So just want to give Steph Curry some podcast love.
Again, I want to also just compliment that, Paulie, with how good of a human being, role model, brother, son, father, husband, member of society that he is. Have you ever heard anyone say anything bad about Steph Curry?
No. And if they do, they're an instant enemy of mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and he's also, you know, his body type being 6'3", I think everybody watches him play, you know, or kids watch him play, and he just screams out that everybody can play the game.
Yep.
He just makes everybody feel like they could be a part of it too. Like they don't have to be this, you know, 6'9", you know, enormous wingspan albatross kind of person. It's like every kid can watch him and say, yeah, I could do that. And that's amazing.
So here's my Bay Area Mount Rushmore. Posey, Curry, Rice, Montana. Boom.
Hey, by the way, Tony, very interesting Rushmore you've got there. And I have a question for you because we need to break. Guys, we got a busy day. We got Steve Moskowitz, our friend and sponsor, coming on in a few minutes. We also have Bay Area author and poet Steve Hermanos, who you've heard on the Murphy Mac Show many times over the years. He's got his new new book out called Gigantic Victory Trilogy. It's all three of his books in one.
Question,
Tony. I see you have a question. Your hand is up. What can I help you with?
Will Steve be bringing the bongo drums or a set of congas?
I'm going to go ahead and ask us to come up with the percussion. I think we should.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
But guys, last thing, and Tony, I'm going to need you to be brief on this. I gave you 45 seconds tops because we got to move. Time is a factor. If I'm curt with you,
yes, it is.
What are your feelings about your least favorite Giant, Brandon Crawford? Now the guy's hitting home runs. He's making plays. He started 10 opening day games. I don't know. There's a lot to love, Tony. Here we are, another year and another chance for you to see the light. Brandon Crawford, Tony, go.
Yeah. Suck it, Tony.
I've never been anti Crawford. I've always appreciated his skills, especially defensively. I have always appreciated him as a long time. He's only been a Giant 10 opening days. I really appreciate that. But people went ape shit when he hit 100 home runs. And I said, yeah, that's fine. That's a decent personal record. But he's not this great hitter. He's an amazing defensive player. He's hitting .158 right now. He's not a great hitter. He's an amazing professional athlete who is known for his defense.
But
he is not some great hitter. I don't understand why people think he's some great hitter.
Look how agitated Tony's getting. This whole thing is unbelievable. Let me speak to Kaler for a second, Tony. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to lay back.
Average hitter at best.
Hey, Kale.
Who leaves the yard every now and again. And in 10 years, he's hit 100 home runs, a little more than 100 home runs. And when he hit his 100th, people, you know, wanted to celebrate like it was Wilt the Stilt, you know. I don't know. Anyways, go ahead.
I feel like, dude, this take of like I'm not down with Crawford is like
That's the wrong take.
You're putting words in my mouth. You know what it is.
You're here putting words in my mouth. I never said I'm not down with Crawford.
You kind of did. You kind of.
Brandon, I know that you listen to the podcast every week. Thank you, Brandon, for listening. And I'd like to tell you directly, Brandon, that I don't dislike you. And I appreciate your skills. And I appreciate your effort over the 10 years. And for all you've done for the city of San Francisco. But you're an average hitter.
Well, he's speaking directly to Brandon. Can I say something? Okay, I feel like just because he's a local kid that didn't go to your high school doesn't mean that you can just bash the guy. You know, Brady's pal.
I'm not
you're
bashing.
Brady's pal. You're pals with his sisters. You're pals with all these other local
legends.
There's
no bashing.
You don't know Crawford, so you don't like him.
Hey,
all I said, Paulie, before you wrap this ass up, all I said is that he's an average hitter and he's hitting .158 right now. His defense has always been top of the line. Seriously, he is the best shortstop, may go down as the best shortstop in the history of the franchise. But at the plate, he's average at best.
He's got three home runs, I think, so far this year. I don't know.
He does.
I don't know what's more controversial, hot dogs in a skillet or Tony saying Crawford's no good.
All of these. That's why we're here, to address all of these issues, Kaler. Hot dogs, paninis, the fact that Tony hates Crawford. All that stuff will be explored today on the podcast. But, guys, we got to clear the spaces here because we got Steve Romanos. Our main man, Steve Romano's coming up in just a moment here. We're going to talk about his new book. We back it up with a Steve double shot. If I could go a double shot of Steve, I give you Romanos Arrow Moskowitz Arrow, because the music will never stop here. And then we'll go into Kaler's music assignment at the very end. And maybe the assignment topic today, Shannon, should be what songs that remind you of how much Tony hates Crawford, stuff like that.
Don't do that.
We'll get into that a little bit later on the Polymac podcast. All right, everybody. Hey, we are back on the Polymac podcast, and this is great. I got to tell you, one of the hard things about the pandemic, one of the many hard things about the pandemic, is the fact that we've been doing this podcast now for a little over a year, where the three of us are in separate locations. I can't reach right out and kind of muss up a Shannon Kaler's hair when I want to. I can't pluck a stray hair off a Creative Tony's shoulder when I see one popping out.
Yep.
But more importantly than that, maybe even more importantly than that, we've been in separate homes and we haven't really been able to bring in the kind of special guests that we have done so in the past, where we have guys come in studio, we have guys call in the studio line. It's different with Zoom, and we're still recording everything on Zoom. But today, we were able to reach out to one of, I think he's a Murph and Mac alumni. I mean, this guy goes way back with the Murph and Mac show. You've heard his work on the show before, on the Murph and Mac show, because I've actually recorded this dude breaking off some freestyle poetry, all Giants and baseball-centric. Bringing him into the podcast now with Shannon Kaler, Creative Tony Ryan, Pauly Mack. Let's welcome in Steve Romanos. He is our resident San Francisco Giants author and poet.
Yes, Steve.
It's an honor to be here, gentlemen, an honor.
Welcome back to the podcast, man. First off, how have you been? I mean, we're just getting the season started, but pandemic's been rough, bro. How you holding up, man?
I'm hanging on with my fingernails just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Just trying to maintain. I'm standing on a lot of baseball fields watching my son play, so that's
nice.
Me sane, and I'm looking forward to getting out to the ballpark ASAP.
Well, Steve, again, for our listeners, you guys that have never heard Steve actually kind of join us as a guest, Steve is the guy who wrote the very famous Madison Bumgarner Gigantic Pants, where it's a haiku on Bumgarner that was written all the way back in 2010. So to give everybody a background on Steve Romanos. So Steve, tell us how this all started. You started writing Giant-centric poetry. You've actually published books, bro.
Three championships, three books. My wife said I had to do it, so I did it. But in 2010, it was just like I got so caught up in that ride at the end. I was flying high into November, and right around Thanksgiving, I just started writing this book of poetry about the year, the run, the feeling, my family, and it was fantastic. I wrote about 3 weeks, self-published it. Had a great time. Yeah, O Gigantic Victory. And got, you know, quite a lot of reaction, good things happening, a lot of fun. Coming on with you guys, Paul playing the bongos while we're doing poetry, and so much fun and joy. And then 2012, did it again, 2014. And so I got three books and people buying them here and there and sporadic. And finally, during the pandemic, there's a vacuum of sports. And I'm like, I'm finally going to put them together in one volume, and it just came out beautifully. And I'm just really pleased of how it looks. And, you know, it's just a nice way to relive those years and those moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm proud of how it looks. And then, you know, the big thing is, you know, book number two coming out at the end of the year, which is a baseball novel. That's a different thing, but we're here to talk about poetry and do poetry. So
we'll definitely plug that one at the end. But for now, Steve, for people that want to get the collection of all three, because now the new book is O Gigantic Victory Trilogy. It's got all three books in one volume. Now, the question is, Giant fans listening in, or guys that have heard your stuff on the Murph and Mac show before, if they want to get their hands on these books, or
Kindle right now, Amazon right now, and call your local bookstore. Everybody have a little relationship with your local bookstore.
Yeah,
nice.
It's a wonderful local institution and a bit of the beating heart of your local community. So, yeah, do the easy thing online and also call or go into your local bookstore and be a part of the community. It's very important. And these we're lucky in the Bay Area because we've got a lot of really dedicated bookstore owners, independent. They're very cool, et cetera. So all that. But it's available right now. Go on Amazon, Kindle, all the e-readers. Zip it down. send me an email. I'll read you a poem on the phone, whatever you want.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The voice is Steve Hermanos, and he is the San Francisco Giants author, poet. You know, I can envision you back in the day with, like, you know, on Columbus Street.
Oh, City Lights,
Outside of Vesuvio. Outside of Vesuvio, sipping on a, you know, a cognac or something.
Well, I tell you, when Ferlinghetti died earlier this year, I wrote up a poem, printed it out, drove over to City Lights, parked in the bus stop, and I taped the poem up on the wall, on the glass.
Oh,
all this tape, man. I just left it there, and I watched, you know, I just watched some people reading it and just, you know, feeling the loss, just in reality, no virtual, right there.
Yeah.
And I drove away. And man, you know, we just got to hold it together.
Yeah.
Steve, you just hit on something that I wanted to just kind of emphasize, is that's the beauty of your work and of authors' work all around the world and also with musicians, is that, you know, the it's timeless. And this stuff, we can continue to go back to it. And I just recently, during the pandemic, went back and relived the 2010 season. And I totally understand why you were so driven to write all this stuff, because of all of the characters on that team and the personalities on that team. I mean, it was just bursting with material.
Well, also, as we, you know, every day move away from that, you know, it's just nice to be in touch with it in all sorts of various ways. And that dynasty, the Orange Dynasty, you know, we're going to have those memories for the rest of our lives. So it's really beautiful. And that's, you know, I've always believed poetry can be about anything, you know, and don't let the institutions, you know, try to sequester it into a lot of word games.
Yeah.
it can be about whatever you want.
Yeah.
And express it that way. You know, like, it's a lot like music, but without the music. So it's
like,
a
like Bumgarner's, yeah. Like Bumgarner's balls. You can write about Bumgarner's balls.
Right.
Your expanding pants.
Balls.
Yes. I tell my kids all the time. Kids all the time. There's no bad art, and there really isn't. And to express.
Well,
themselves.
It's a way of expressing your enthusiasm for some subject matter or other, you know, in the way of no bad art. Well, the bad art can lead to some good art, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We don't want to discourage anybody, and you shouldn't plunk your money down for bad art. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's just a way of celebrating things and celebrating life. And the thing is with poetry and baseball specifically, it's a game with a lot of pauses. And so in the poetry, obviously in reading, you can stop time and examine something like in the 2010 World Series, Ian Kinsler's ball that looks like a homer hits the top corner of the wall and bounces back towards the field, right?
Yeah.
So we can just stop time, examine the amazing thing that just happened, marvel at it, go off in a few different tangents, and come back. That's the cool, you know, in baseball, football, basketball, and hockey are very crowded sports, right? They're things that happen in the middle of a scrum. In baseball, you can see everything that happens. It's all spread out. It's
good
all
call.
Nothing is hidden from the fan. So that's why I think in terms of fans being able to comment on it, on what's really happening, we get a pretty good sense of what's going on. And then with the poetry, being able to slow things down and examine it, turn different angles, talk about stuff like, Aubrey Huff's wife's thong or whatever. You know,
we just
put it in a blender and spread it out. And, you know, hopefully it's enjoyable for, people to read and have a good time and have some memories. And what's cool, you know, just personally, when I write this stuff, there's bits in here about my family, you know, taking my young son to the games. Mm-hmm. We used to go to the World Series games, but I don't want to spend $400 for a ticket. So I would take him. He was like 6 years old and 8 years old. We would go hang out outside, buy a program, play catch.
Nice.
And then get in the car and come home and watch the game.
Nice.
So we'd soak up some of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get a hot dog. Be home for the second, listen to the wonderful KNBR announcers on the drive home, get home for the second or third inning and watch the rest of the game. And we had been to the World Series. We didn't see the game, but we had soaked up some of that atmosphere. So some of that type of stuff is in this book. And so for me, you know, looking back at some of that stuff is really meaningful for me. And it's just nice to have that entwined with the amazing games. And my son and wife and I were at the Ishikawa home run game. And it was like, you know, what an experience. And when you go to great games and you remember, the first thing you remember is who you were there with. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you were there alone, you remember, oh yeah, I was there alone. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you go to great sporting events, you always remember who you were there with. So that's really just a wonderful aspect of putting this book together. So shouldn't we shoot out a poem?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say down with Let's the institutions.
Well, you know what, you guys too, I'm realizing too that because we should probably get ready to wrap up with Steve, but in the final moments we have with Steve Hermanos, by the way, again, the writer and author of the three San Francisco Giant championship books, Oh Gigantic Victory, Orange Waves of Giants, Floating Giants, and the new one called Oh Gigantic Victory Trilogy, where you get all three in one. Steve, I was thinking, man, I want to hear your new Buster Posey piece. And as I look, you guys are talking about the 2010 team and Aubrey Huff and all these great characters Tony mentioned. Buster Posey's he's the last man standing. He's still part of this organization, and he was the last guy actually to suit up every day today that was part of that team. So I think this is an appropriate way to wrap with Steve. Let's pay Buster Posey some respect, Steve. Yeah, floor is yours, kid.
And I think if he gets to third base and he presents like the go-ahead run, maybe we should pinch run for him. What do you think? Just a little suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, this is one. This is an oldie but a goodie, and I totally believe this in my heart. And this is just a piece of this. This is called San Fran Posey. This quiet man at first appearance, as San Franciscan as a tinted window tour bus. You know, we've got that gray long bridge with a generic name. We see it from the ballpark. It's a wondrous structure. Next April, when we present him with the MVP trophy, let's rename that bridge the Buster Posey Bridge, or just rename the whole dang town San Fran Posey.
See what I'm saying? You guys give it up, everybody. That's our good friend, Steve Romanos. And I should tell people, get more information simply online by simply going to stevehermanos.com. And hey, Steve, listen, when you're ready with the novel, the baseball novel, we're going to have you back.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's called Going, Going, Gone. And that's coming out towards the end of the year. And that is, it's a time travel baseball novel. And I've been working on it for many years and lots of fun. And I just want to thank you guys for the fun. It's always a blast. Paul, I think we go back 34 years.
Crazy, man. Crazy. I'm going to tell the full story on the podcast today of how Steve and I first crossed paths in that back in the 80s. It's a good story. It's a good story. But Steve, God bless you, man. Keep up the good work. And we will talk to you down the road, my friend.
Paul, Tony, Shannon, thanks a lot. Lot of fun. Keep the faith. And I look forward to seeing you guys in the flesh sometime soon.
All right, everybody. Hey, we're back on the Polymac podcast, KNBR 680 and 104.5. Hey, we do this every week on the podcast. We carve out a few minutes to talk to our good friend, Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney right here in San Francisco for over 30 years, helping out all kinds of people and business owners with their tax questions and challenges. But also, he's the sponsor of our great podcast here. So we want to thank Steve for that as well. So Steve, welcome on back to the Polymac podcast. Great to see you. We're still working on Zoom, but I figured today with the return of baseball, we've got all the boys of summer back out there on the field. It feels good. It's almost like without baseball last year or being able to go to the games, like they hid our treasures away, which kind of bridges me to today's conversation with you. Cause Steve, is it true? I'm hearing things out there on the streets that the IRS now has a crypto program in place. Is it true that they're calling this Operation Hidden Treasure?
Yes, they are. This program just came out and the Congress gave them extra budget for it. And this is their number one focus. After all these years having a number one focus in foreign bank accounts, they've now turned their attention to crypto.
Okay.
And if you're a crypto person, you'll know this term I'm going to use. The IRS has mined a lot of information because a lot of people wrongly thought that crypto was secret and the IRS is not going to know about it.
Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth. The IRS knows it. And this program is both criminal and civil. Criminal means they're looking to put you in prison.
Wow.
And civil fraud, the penalty is 75% of the tax plus interest. The IRS is really serious here. So the bottom line is, if upon reflection, you've done some things you wish you had done differently, we want to jump in and discuss with you about changing it and correcting it and cleaning this up, because as you know, in tax, so many times it makes a huge difference cleaning it up before the government comes calling. Because once they have that heavy hand knocking on the door,
right,
you could be in some real trouble here. And what we want to do is go ahead and avoid this trouble.
So Steve, let me ask you this. You know, it's actually with this whole wave of kind of cryptocurrency that's going on right now, I think it's confusing to a lot of people. So for the misinformed out there that you just kind of addressed, if there are people listening to this right now, Steve, that say, hey, I traffic in crypto, you know, I got money out there and I move money around with purchases or what have you. Why are people under the impression that the IRS somehow has a blind eye to this? I don't know. Like, where are they getting that information?
Just like all other rumor and innuendo and everything else, you know, somebody starts a rumor and six guys repeat it and six more guys repeat it. And they'll say, hey, everybody is talking about it. It must be true. You know, the 50,000 Frenchmen that said the earth was flat. Well, it must be true. 50,000 Frenchmen said so. The bottom line is that that is a common misconception with crypto. And the bottom line is you do not want to be on the wrong end of a criminal investigation or a civil investigation with big penalties. And the bottom line is you're entitled to all the law provides, and let's make sure we get all of those. But once you go beyond that, what you don't want to do is be in this illegal area where you're going to get nailed on it. And again, this is their number one focus. Wow. And I'm just thinking back to all the cases. That's how the foreign bank accounts cases started, where people thought, oh, they have money in a foreign country. How would the IRS ever find that?
Right.
And the IRS did, and they were very successful. As a matter of fact, some of the things in ferreting out the information the IRS learned in doing the foreign bank account program, they're now using in the crypto program. They've got a tremendous amount of information, and now they're coming after people. And you do not want to be on, much like a shotgun, you don't want to be on the wrong end of it.
No. Do you think, Steve? No, definitely not with the IRS. No question. So again, if you're out there and you're trafficking in the crypto world, just know, thanks to Steve, there is an operation underway called Hidden Treasure from the IRS. Steve, another quick question about just cryptocurrency. Do you think, with all your experience and everything you've seen in your career, do you think we are going to get to the point where crypto, Bitcoin, it ever becomes more commonplace than just good old-fashioned U.S. currency, paper money?
Well, when you think about it, let's talk about another type of currency, credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, everybody used good old greenbacks to do all their transactions.
Yeah.
Now there's an awful lot of people that really don't touch cash. Everything is through your credit card.
Yeah.
So your employer puts money in your account, and then you go to the grocery store and you hand over your credit card or your debit card. Think about how Visa and MasterCard and American Express and Discover have changed the landscape. If you take a look at, you know, overall sales, a lot of businesses say almost all of their sales now are in credit cards.
Right.
And even checks are getting out of the way, where people are just going click rather than writing a check.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, you know, things change. And part of doing anything or doing it properly is keeping up with these changes. This is a different world, just like, you know, we're doing this on Zoom right now.
Probably right.
For so many years,
yeah.
I came into the studio, we sat next to each other and talked, and then went out for a nice meal.
Oh.
Now, you're in your house, I'm in my house, and we're doing the show.
I know.
And it's a different world.
Well, Liz, you're right about that. You got to adapt and roll with the changes. There's no question. And I don't know about everybody listening in, but see, Steve, the fact that Steve is so well-informed and has so much great advice to dispense and share, it actually makes me feel a little bit more comfortable that you don't have to sweat it out at night and wonder, oh my God, what if I did this wrong? What if I did that wrong? Tax questions, whether it's about, you know, Operation Hidden Treasure, crypto questions, questions about estate planning, things of that nature, and beyond, just good old-fashioned filing of your taxes. Steve is there to take your questions and help you through this process because, yes, it is very complicated. Steve, that being said, man, thank you for lowering our blood pressure on a weekly basis.
Always a pleasure.
And you take care of yourself. You be well. And we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Paulie. We've been together so many years. You know, I love doing your show. Thanks so much.
You got it. And give him a call at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. Visit him online at MoskowitzLLP.com. And we're back on the Paulie Mac podcast. Hey, time's a factor. If I'm curt with you, it's because the clock is ticking. Pretty Pleased with Sugar on top. Clean the blanking car. Shannon, give me the musical assignment because we are tight now. Let's go.
Here's the deal. We just had our poet laureate, Steve Hermanos, come on. So we're going to pick songs that remind us of beautiful poetry. So songs that sound like poetry, okay? our favorites. I'm sure we all have one. Would you? Who, you look like you want to start, Paul.
Me? Oh, I mean, you know, okay. I if you want me to, Kales. Listen, when it comes to poets, I mean, there's really only one guy, truthfully, right? There's a lot of great lyricists out there, but when it comes to actual poetry, I figure if they're going to go ahead and give you a Nobel Prize for literature, you've probably written a couple of decent poems in your day. Because a lot of times when people say the name Bob Dylan, I go, yeah, Bob Dylan, what's he ever done? But right. I will say this, he did win a Nobel Prize for literature a couple of years ago. So if it's okay with you, Kaler, I'll just start with Bob Dylan. And if you don't mind me doing this, I'm going to go ahead and use kind of a slice of life piece of poetry he wrote about real life heavyweight boxer Reuben Carter, Reuben the Hurricane Carter, who was falsely jailed for a crime he never committed. Bobby Dylan said, not so fast on that one. Let me write a song called The Hurricane about his trials and tribulations. And the fact that Dylan wrote that song helped free Reuben Carter. The Hurricane is my choice. Shannon, go.
Oh, that's excellent, excellent, excellent. Yeah, well, you took my guy, Paul. That's kind of upsetting, but it's okay. I'll move on. I'm going to go. Now, usually Jack White is not thought of as a poet or as some, you won't even necessarily think lyrics when you think Jack White. But if you listen to some of his songs, he's really great turning a phrase or just sort of thinking outside the box of his phrase arrangements and how he says things. And anyway, I just love how he can do that. But also when he tells stories, sometimes it's usually a phrase here or there, like a hustle and cuss, lick on the dust, you know, something weird like that. Or Seven Nation Army, you know, something where it's like that hooky phrase. But he has this great song called Carolina Drama that's on the Consolers of the Lonely Raconteurs album.
Nice.
So good.
Yeah, it's the last track of the album. And it's so cool. It's this big kind of long story. And you just kind of fall into it and you get swept away by his lyrics and the story. So I really love that for my poetry entry of the day.
Wow. Did you went raconteurs? I love it, Shannon. No?
Oh, yes. Yes.
By the way, Third Man Records, you ever been to Third Man Records, his website?
Yeah, I've been to the store too. It's pretty cool.
And there's an incredible amount of vinyl you can buy. And he's got some old blues albums you can buy, records that he's reprinted at his own, because he has his own press at Third Man Records where he presses. And then he's at, artists have come in and recorded there. And then he'll make vinyl copies of the recordings.
It's so cool.
It's pretty freaking sweet, man. You know, Shannon, you just kind of, there's a lot of options here that I could go with. I'm going to have to go with my guys from Vermont, Kaler. You know this. I got to go with, first of all, Tom Marshall, lyricist for Phish, one of the extra members of Phish. But I got to go with Phish out of Vermont, and I got to go back to Fluffhead. Okay, Paulie, you know, I know you're a Fluffhead guy. You know, Paulie, you got some powerful pills. I know you do. Okay, Shannon, are you ready? Okay. Tipsy, fuddled, boozy, groggy, elevated, primed, and editor. Hellborn, elf child, roadhog, mountain, fortune hunter, man, beheaded her. Fat, bulk, expanse, mess, lump, block, cod. There we go.
Well, I mean, after that, where do you go, Kaler?
Head!
That's a haiku?
It's for you, is what it is.
It's
fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, buzzy, buzzy, Kaler, you okay with that? I mean, I know you're not.
No, I'm a, hey man, it's musical expression. Here we go.
Oh, thank you, pal.
Okay, well, hey, listen, today was a busy Jockcast. We got a lot done. Next week, we're 1 week closer to the NFL draft, so I'm sure we'll get back to that.
Yeah, Shanahan's new buddy, Justin Fields. They're hanging out, like having coffee together.
Well, I know there's so much going on in Niners, but I'm just saying next week will be busy too. We'll have plenty to talk about. Until then, Shannon, keep listening to Fluffhead, I guess. And yes. Tony, okay. Yeah, he said, okay. He goes, okay. Okay. And outside of that, I don't know. Keep the scene clean, and we'll see you guys as soon as we can. Everybody get your vax on, and everybody be cool.
You've been listening to Pauly's Podcast with Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.